Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's where I'd expect to be at. I think I can't. You need to see it, right? It's one of those things where, like, if you're going to use your instincts, the best thing is to, like, be experienced with your players and see them succeed and see them fail. And as you see that, like, you understand kind of their rhythm. And so, yeah, I mean, we're 12 games in, and we're a 6-week spring training in, and I feel good about it. I'll feel better in 2 more weeks. But I can't rush that. We have to experience the games together, and we have to experience the peaks and valleys together.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
That was Craig Counsell on with Parkins and Spiegel on Friday afternoon with Anthony Herron sitting in for Danny and Matt Spiegel doing the interview. Bruce Levine, David Haugh here until 11 talking baseball on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce, Craig Counsell is not going to ever be accused of being expansive. I think that's what you know going in to any interview, to any season, to any conversation. I think that's part of why people think he's one of the smartest guys in baseball, certainly among managers, because smart guys know what they don't know, and they know when to stop talking. I'll stop talking now and let you respond to that because I want to be a smart guy. But you get my drift. Craig Counsell, in that interview, reminded us one of his greatest strengths is brevity.
You're only a smart guy when you win, right?
Right.
You're a questionable guy when the team isn't winning. And that's why we're having this segment, okay? So Craig knows this better than anybody. Right now, the Cubs are trying to tread water until they get back their number one and the number two pitcher. And I think that Counsell understood that this was going to be a tough time, especially on this road trip against three really good teams, San Diego, Seattle, Arizona. They're hard enough to play anywhere, but on the road in consecutive series, 9 games, start the season without your number one and two. If you come back from that trip and you're still around 500, you're in really good shape.
I think that's the goal because the schedule is so difficult early and you have been so injured. You look at without Justin Steele and Jameson Taillon, who makes a rehab start today, I believe, for AAA Iowa, and you wonder how he will look and when he'll come back. What's the status of Kyle Hendricks? There are a lot of questions that I think relate to a larger one in terms of pitching. And we'll talk to Carter Hawkins, the general manager, at the bottom of the hour, and he can address this as well. Do you think the Cubs came into the season with enough arms to trust in light of the injuries? Because they seem to be Julian Merriweather going down. They seem to be in a situation now that would challenge most teams, but they need quality depth they don't seem to have right now.
Well, I mean,
should they have done more?
Counsell is concerned right now because he's had too many starts of 4 innings, okay, from his starting pitchers, okay? And he basically, the last 2 games, David, he had to go against conventional managerial wisdom to expand, allow his starting pitchers to pitch beyond their success ratio in those games. He allowed Hendricks to pitch a fifth-plus inning when he had already lost the game in the fourth inning, giving up 4 runs in 4 innings, okay? Now, yesterday, he saw Wicks fall apart in the fourth inning, but had to stand there and watch him walk three guys in that inning, give up the go-ahead runs. Four runs at that time looked like about 10. And, you know, against a Seattle team with the type of pitching they have
So what that does is you think it saves the bullpen but loses the game?
Absolutely. But not only that, when a young guy like Wicks and an older guy like Hendricks, he's also trying to get them to be able to expand and do positive things, get out of jams, move on to the next inning, you know. The new success level of five good innings, okay? That's it. Average outing for a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, 5.1 inning.
Well, that's changing, and I think it's changing because of managers like Craig Counsell, and he alluded to that during the interview. One of the things he did go, I think, into depth into that was interesting. He doesn't necessarily look at starters and relievers in the way that traditional baseball people have for years. And he's not as young as he looks. He's in his mid-50s, I believe. So he comes from an era that it was you get seven from your starter, you hand it over to the setup guy, and then the closer gets the save. He played in that era. He's from that era, but I don't think he believes in that any longer. He talked about outgetters, Bruce, and what he needs to do is get 27 outs, and if that means Luke Little's going to face two lefties among the first three starters in the first inning, he's going to pitch the first. Right. Then Ben Brown's going to get the second for however long he can go, and no longer should we think of this, well, give me five, starting pitcher, because you are starting pitcher, and you give me five. He's like, who do we got? What's the matchup? How long can he go?
Yeah, but, you know, he's also he runs a grocery store, and if you're selling Hostess – ho-hos, and your job is to sell them out, you got to make sure you know when that next shipment is coming in, okay? And that's the part of, yeah, you're trying to get outs today, but you have to save that bullpen. You have to know that you're going to have a bullpen for the next day. You're going to have to talk to the general manager. You're going to have to talk to the president of baseball operations. Know that when is Keegan Thompson pitching next? When can we bring him up? Because we're going to need him. We're going to send Quest down because he hasn't been very good, and we need better results. And more importantly, we need an arm here that we're not going to destroy. So all of these things go into, hey, yeah, we have to get the outs today, but who is going to be able to help us get the outs for the rest of this trip? And that's why certain games like the one with Hendricks.
You mentioned Hendricks.
Some of those games you just have to give up and lose the game in order to save your bullpen.
It sounds like you're not in favor of that idea, though. You mentioned the Hendricks game.
You
mentioned Wicks. Those are two losses. They only have six. Are those two losses on the player or the manager?
No, it's a part of the 162-game process. You just can't, you know, why did David Ross get replaced? Okay. Arguably, you had the best mind and manager out there available, and they jumped there. But what they didn't like about David Ross last year was that they felt he used the bullpen to a point where it was destroyed almost by September, the first week of September. Okay. To David Ross's credit is, hey, you didn't give me enough bullpen guys, okay? You didn't have fortification via going out there and getting me enough guys at the trade deadline. Your minor league system, Ben Brown wasn't ready because he had an oblique situation. We thought he'd be ready. He never was.
I think that was part of last year's demise, no question about it. As far as the beginning of this season, 13 games into it, the Cubs 7-6, losers of three of the last four. I am giving Craig Counsell the benefit of the doubt right now. I am going to wait to see how he continues to navigate through what I think every manager deals with, but the injuries that he has dealt with have been significant. You lose your ace. You lose a guy who could be your number two starter for the first half month of the season. You lose Julian Merriweather, an underrated piece of that bullpen, And maybe you have been a pitcher short in the bullpen. Maybe that's up to the front office. But Council is, I think, going to take some time to get used to, both in the way that we talk to him, hear from him, interview him, and also watch him manage. But I think that there's nothing I've seen, Bruce, that makes me think like, oh boy, this guy's overrated.
No, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants to do. The one thing he has no control over is the result. And that's up to the individual athlete. He's developing some people at one point. But I think the thing that I like most about Council is there's a steadiness about the metrics and the scouting of what he's seeing, what he knows, and also an understanding of the numbers and what he has to do that is meshed together, okay? And that there's that quiet confidence of, okay, it didn't work out today, but when you talk to me tomorrow, I'm not shaken by what happened yesterday.
He's not shaken. No. He's barely stirred. He's not a very good martini because you just look at him and he just is unflappable, it seems.
The expansion of the people that he is dealing with as far as media and fans is huge. So the attention and the questions are a lot different for him.
I'm looking forward to his season every 2 weeks on the Parkins and Spiegel show. He has the relationship previously, family friends of Danny Parkins. We know that. But it also is very evident that he's not going to make interviewing him any easier for the interviewer, whether it's the Parkins and Spiegel show or whoever. He expects you to be prepared. He expects you to have a point. He expects you to have a direction, clearly. And he's not going to help you do your job. He expects you to be as ready as he is for that.
David, and that's something that media and fans have to get used to, the fact that David Ross was not only an outstanding baseball guy, which I still think he is and continue will be, he was an entertainer, okay? So he would be more expansive. If I asked him one of those questions, you know, generically, he would add to it, okay? Craig Council is going to leave you hanging after he gives you what he considers a good answer.
Yeah.
He understands the role, but he also understands that he is not there. His job is not to entertain you or the fan base, but to help you win baseball.
He's not hosting a show. He's managing a team.
No.
He's doing baseball, not radio.
He doesn't want to be charming. He doesn't care about that.
Speaking of Parkins and Spiegel,
they're charming guys.
They're very charming guys. And they will be toasting Harry Carey. Be there. The Score in Budweiser on Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern and Navy Pier for the 26th annual worldwide toast to Harry Carey. Parkins and Spiegel broadcasting live 4 to 7. With actor and comedian Jason Alexander leading the toast at 5:30, a worldwide toast to Harry Carey, brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. So, Bruce, I want to ask you about two guys with the Cubs, I think, having different weeks, Cody Bellinger and Michael Bush. Cody Bellinger's cooled off. Now he's hitting 180 after going 0-for-3 last night with a walk. Michael Bush, homers in garbage time, but he is one of those guys that Craig Council, during that interview, singled out as enjoying managing because he looks like somebody who fits the part and could be here a while. Bellinger will find what's wrong and fix it. I have confidence in that. But how impressed have you been with Michael Bush so far?
Well, he's capable and able to get you a big hit, okay? So that, to me, is impressive. He's also, you know, if you talk to him, and again, I talked to him a lot in the clubhouse. A lot of it was around the Dodgers. He had two big games against the Dodgers where he was impactful against his old team and helped win. And he, exterior-wise, and I believe all the way down, he didn't make a big deal out of it. I tried to make him, you know, hey, this is, you know, you're Billy Buckner coming over to the Cubs and hitting two home runs in 1977 against the Dodgers in the first game he played against them, helping them beat the team that traded you and ignored you. And he's not having any of it. It's like, hey, this is where I'm supposed to be. I have a great opportunity. You know, maybe it's more a millennial than anything else. It's like, hey, I can be a big league player. I don't care about the Dodgers. I'm here with the Cubs now, and that's where I'm going to succeed. So I found that all very refreshing.
It is refreshing, and it's nice to see him rise to the occasion. A lot's expected out of him this year, as he knows. Bruce, when you look at the week that the Cubs have had, I feel like you go back to that Padres loss where they blew the lead, and I hope that doesn't that isn't the beginning of a streak or a skid, and you look back at, boy, what would have happened if they would have held on to that lead? That was a bad loss, and when you circle ones for the first month of the season, I don't know that there will be anyone that will sting as much as that one.
Yeah, but they came back and won the next day. That was big, you know.
Then they lost a series, though.
I understand they're not on an extended losing streak. They would be if they had caved the next day. Okay. So that's what you look for. And again, you know, circumstantial situations are, and sustainability. You're not averaging 6 runs a game all year. Right now, they're still there with Atlanta. It's such a small sample of what the season's all about. You know what? They've really been averaging, you know, maybe 3 runs a game over the last 4 or 5. So, again, the reality is, you hope you're averaging close to 5 runs a game on a season. during a coast trip like this, you know, you don't know. You're not as concerned about the runs you score, but the runs you give up.
I like the way the lineup has been pretty conventional and predictable at the top, especially. Are you at all surprised that there hasn't been as many alterations, even though it's a small sample size, a couple weeks? But Hap, Suzuki, Bellinger, Morel, Swanson, Bush, when you look at their everyday lineup, those 6 guys have been pretty consistent in those spots in the order.
Yeah, and we're seeing the difference in manager philosophy. He doesn't care about the stolen base, okay? He doesn't think that Nico Horner is a top-of-the-order hitter, okay? He thinks he's a important part of the lineup in the middle or further down in the order. If Horner isn't in the top part of the order, there's a lot of situations now where he's not going to be stealing the base. I don't think he's stolen a base yet. I think the Cubs are probably down there. I think they have 3 stolen bases. Last year they had 140. Nico had 43 of those. So they're probably not going to be the same type of team, you know, that is looking for run production by a hit, a stolen base, and a single. He has the opportunity, and he feels, to have his best hitters slug runs for him at the top of the order.
Before we get out of this segment, and we're talking to Carter Hawkins at the bottom of the hour, 10:30 is the plan. How do you handle, how would you address the Kyle Hendricks conundrum?
You know, do you have right now, over the next 2 weeks, do you have another answer?
I think you do.
You do?
I do think you do.
What do you do?
If you're looking at 5, you have Shota, you've got Assad, you've got Wicks, you've got Brown, and I mean, you're shrugging, but you're going to get possibly Tyone back. If Tyone comes back,
okay,
maybe Hendricks is the guy that sits down.
Maybe. I think you give Hendricks a couple more starts, okay? Mm-hmm. Getting Tyone back and then getting Steele back, that's the key, okay? And getting them back, what form, David, more importantly, are you getting them back? Are they capable of throwing 100 pitches in 6 innings when they come back?
I think the real question is, Bruce, and I would admire and understand their loyalty to somebody who's been pretty reliable since he's been a Cub. But you wonder, is this the exception or the rule now with Kyle Hendricks? And at this stage of his career, is he going to be able to get out of a rut? Because we've seen this before. Yeah. He started slow before March and April. His ERA is a collective 5.6, I think, over 35 starts. He can get out of it, and he has, but can he still do that?
We have a cut from Craig Counsell about Hendricks that we'd like to get to now, talking about what is it that Hendricks has to do? Is he capable of getting himself out of this situation?
Kyle struggled his first three starts. There's no question about it. And, you know, when you look at it, it's stuff that it's not. I don't know if there's anything like brand new that we need to kind of change. When a lot of this comes down to execution, and especially for a pitcher like Kyle, you know, he is kind of required to execute at a higher level than everybody else.
Is he? Do you expect more out of Kyle Hendricks than everybody else?
Command.
Because of his lack of velocity?
Always been a command pitcher his whole career.
I guess in that way that is the case. I don't question that at all. I wonder if he still has it though.
Oh, that's a fair question.
I wonder if he still does.
And for the first time after this last game, you're starting to see him question himself.
Do you think that's a position where the Cubs will try to address at the deadline eventually? It's too early to tell on that.
But the reality is does Assad or Brown stay in the rotation, and does Kyle get pushed out?
Both those guys have been good.
Right.
And as we said, we'll end the segment the way we started. Craig Counsell is not a sentimental man.
No, but it's too early to do it right now. But, you know, the situation that the other pitchers have him in as far as not getting enough innings, starting innings in, dictates some of these other things as well.
Good question and topic for our next guest, Carter Hawkins, the Cubs general manager, will join us when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here's the pitch. High fly ball, hit to deep left center field. Forget about it. Long gone. A grand slam home run. Christopher Morel.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine here. And time now to go out to our Score Hotline brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins joins us. Carter, welcome inside the clubhouse. Thank you for your time this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's great to talk to you. The Cubs are out in Seattle, losers of three of the last four. A little bit of a tough stretch after a good start, Carter. Just how would you, from your vantage point, assess where your pitching staff is, starters and relievers, and how much are you watching that on an hourly basis, maybe, to find out exactly where help can be found and how to address the next problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally there's been some flashes of really, really good things, and there's been some flashes of concerning things. And, you know, certainly on the good things, we're looking to figure out ways to sustain them, and on the not so good things, it's ways to improve them. And, you know, that obviously includes constantly thinking about what type of external upgrades we potentially could have, but also who internally can help us. We saw Keegan Thompson come up last night and throw two solid good innings for us. So, yeah, it's something that we're constantly talking about. I mean, in addition to the entire team, you know, position players as well. But, you know, early on, you don't want to look too much into the small sample sizes, but you also don't want to be ignorant to opportunities to get better. And that's our job, to try to make us better every day.
Developing players, Carter, and also being able to have sustainable bullpens and pitching staffs, very difficult. You have a kid like Wicks who is going through that. He's been really good in parts, and then, you know, yesterday, your manager has to try to nurse him through a fourth inning and try to win a ball game and sustain a bullpen all at the same time. Maybe $8 million a year is not enough for that job.
Well, you know, it is definitely difficult, and there's difficult decisions at all times, and you can have a really good decision and a really bad outcome just given the human nature of all of these things. But yeah, I think Jordan threw well last night. It spurts and then definitely showed stuff that can miss bats. I think he just needs to continue to attack hitters and go after them with his stuff to avoid some of those free bases. That's what ultimately ended up hurting them and putting us behind. Obviously, if we had scored a lot more runs, it'd be a lot different conversation than we're having this morning, but really encouraged by the potential of Jordan Wicks, and certainly feel comfortable that he's going to continue to work to be able to get deeper into games, which helps our bullpen and has a cascading positive effect.
Carter, let's talk about the two veterans in your rotation, Jameson Taillon and Kyle Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks has struggled out of the gate. First three starts have not been what anybody wants, and Craig Counsell addressed that yesterday. Where's the level of concern with Kyle Hendricks, and what is the timetable for Jameson Taillon?
Yeah, so with Kyle, you know, obviously the results speak for themselves, and it's less than ideal, and Kyle would be the first person to tell you that. But, you know, if there's one person that I would want thinking about any pitcher's plan to get back on track, it would be Kyle Hendricks. So the fact that he gets to think about his own self here, certainly comforting there. You know, he's got the stuff still that gets outs, and the command is still there. He's gone through three really good lineups, so I think that has something to do with it. And, you know, we fully expect him to get back on track and be a strong part of our rotation going forward. And he's doing everything he possibly can to make sure that that happens. Taillon threw yesterday, looked better than his first outing in Double A. We'll make a decision here shortly on his plan and whether or not we do another outing in minor leagues or whether we bring him into the major league rotation, but definitely excited to get him back into the mix here really soon, and definitely will help out our rotation and, you know, in turn, hopefully help out our bullpen.
It's been fascinating as a media person and obviously a fan of the game to watch Craig Counsell come in and take situations that could be volatile and difficult and simplify them for everybody. What have your impressions been of just the way he handled the morale situation, handling Bush at first base as a rookie pretty much at first base in the major leagues, the idea that on a daily basis, what stands out to you about Craig Counsell so far?
Yeah, you use the word simplify, and I think, you know, especially in an environment like professional sports, it can be really easy to react to small sample sizes, react to noise outside of your clubhouse, you know, react to a bad game, to a bad performance, a couple of bad performances. But I think he's got a really good ability to look and say, hey, it's, you know, we're 13 games in to 162 game season, plus all the games we hope to play in the playoffs. So we're not going to overreact either positively or negatively to any of that information, but we're going to think about it deliberately. So from that standpoint, it's a lot of patience. And I think that permeates throughout a clubhouse and allows guys to understand, hey, I have a shot to really show who I am and how I can help the team. And ultimately, that's the idea, is help the team the best we can and win as many games as we can.
How much does losing Julian Merriweather hurt, and how much does that change your approach to looking at what might be out there and how aggressive you might have to be to replace a guy that was very, very good last year?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, obviously, anytime you lose a good player, it hurts. But it's an opportunity for somebody else to step up. You know, this time last year, you know, Julian was the last player on our roster, you know, on our bullpen. You know, he was a waiver claim from Toronto that we weren't sure he was going to last. And he ended up being one of the better pitchers in our bullpen, and certainly came into this year as one of the better pitchers in our bullpen. But it just goes to show that there's opportunity out there, and there's somebody that we're not thinking about either internally or externally that's going to be getting those 6th, 7th, 8th, you know, high leverage type situation outings. And that's our goal, is to figure out who that is and then get Julian back into the mix and be able to double up on that, having two really, you know, an additional good person to go with Neris and go with Julian, go with Advert, and Leiter, and you know, guys like Luke Little in the future here. So yeah, it hurts, but it's an expected part of the season, unfortunately, that you're going to have injuries, and that's part of it. We're constantly trying to look to improve, raise our floor, and raise our ceiling.
How have you enjoyed and internalized the way that Craig uses his batting order? Obviously, speed was a part of what the Cubs did last year with Nico at the top of the order, stealing a lot of bases, getting on base. He's still getting on base a lot, even though he's not hitting much because of having good at-bats and walks. But as far as getting more slug at the top of the order as opposed to last year where you have more conventional approach to the top of your order, how are you dealing with that, and how are you enjoying the way it's evolving for Craig and the way he wants to put a lineup out every day?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all want to see our best hitters hit the most. You know, it's obviously nice to see your best hitters hit with runners on base, and you know, that's part of the lineup construction. You know, that's why, you know, Suzuki's not hitting first necessarily right now. It's nice for him to be able to hit with Ian Happ on base in front of him, but getting guys that are good hitters up to the plate often kind of offsets all the other variables that come into play, and that's kind of how Craig simplified it. And we like that. Yeah, I think we like that because it helps us score runs, and scoring runs helps us win games.
You know, Carter, when we have you on, I think it's worthy of conversation. You come from Cleveland, you are now in the job with the Cubs, and you have a background in pitching development. And around baseball, there's this injury rash, which now Spencer Strider is undergoing surgery. Shane Bieber from your former employer in Cleveland is having surgery. And this, everybody wants to rush to for answers and wonder why. Pitch clock, velocity, pitch counts. What is your working theory? We talked to Ethan Katz an hour ago. You are in the job closer than we are. What do you think is one of the reasons or contributing factors to why all these injuries are happening now?
Ooh, I wish I had the answer. Obviously, it's really complex. I'm sure Ethan had a really good answer. Hopefully, I can live up to that. I think generally, stating the obvious, every time you throw a baseball, there's some certain amount of risk that you're applying of injury in that given throw. So the more throws, the higher the risk. The harder the throw, the higher the risk as well. So the more hard throws, the higher the risk. The greater the spin, the more intensity, all of those things, the greater the risk. So the more hard throws with that, the greater the risk. And players are incentivized and front offices are incentivized to have guys that can throw hard with really good spin because that's what gets outs, and outs prevent runs, and preventing runs wins games, and that's what we get paid to do. So until the incentivization structure changes, I think it's going to be really hard to figure out how to really unwind this. But as for right now, it's a challenge, and it's just trying to figure out how can you protect guys to the best of your ability without having a bunch of guys go out there and throw 75 miles an hour and give up a lot of runs. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one to unwind, but we're all thinking about it.
You know, Carter, that is one of the great answers that I've heard on this from an executive or anybody else, because you're saying maybe the way that we push these guys through is not necessarily the right way, but we're in a supply and demand business where we must compete, we must win, we must satisfy those goals for us as an organization, for the owner, for the fan base. We have to keep up with everybody else. But at the same time, there should be a check and balance of, hey, we have a kid that throws 99 all the time. When should we really ask him to do that? And when should we look at the development and say, let's teach him the pitch at 94, and then 99 will come later on? Honestly, it was a great answer, Carter, but the solution, as you said, very difficult because you are in a results business.
Yeah, I mean, no one's giving us awards for injury prevention at the end of the year, right? And then that's,
yeah, it's crazy.
It just gets back to what you're incentivized for, and I think that's going to always be the challenge. Pitchers are incentivized to throw hard because that gets them more outs, which gets them, you know, paid and helps them win. We're incentivized to get guys to throw hard because it gets more outs and incentivizes us to win. So Yeah, until we change that that outcome, it's going to be really difficult. But in the meantime, obviously, there's a lot of things we can do in terms of, you know, physical health and rest and recovery and studying things that way, you know, just to try to make sure that we're mitigating the risk to the best of our ability without reducing the skill level that we're seeing with our players.
Last thing before we let you go, Shota Imanaga goes to the mound tonight. He's off to a very good start. How careful will you be with his usage, and what about his first couple starts stands out?
Yeah, I think that's a good example, right? Like, we could throw Shota out there, you know, every fifth day, something that he's not used to, and hope that, you know, he stays healthy, because we know that he's, you know, really, really good, but we also know that he hasn't been used to throwing at that pace, just given the way that the schedule's worked in Japan for him throughout the rest of his career. So we are being a little bit more patient there. We're not asking him to not throw hard, but we're asking him to get a little bit more rest that's lines up with what he's used to doing, and hopefully that allows him to throw out through the entire season. But so far, so good with Shota. Obviously, has had two really good starts here at Wrigley. That's been exciting to see, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to take that show out into the road.
You know, we saw, and you guys were very transparent about that was the plan going in, but when you have other pieces of your rotation, your bullpen, not physically able, it's, you know, I feel for you guys being able to implement that plan, because you don't have that luxury. Imagine it's a daily, sometimes multiple daily conversations about, you know, how long can you keep this plan going for him and others, where you want to give them the proper time in between, but you have a ball game to win that day.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old Mike Tyson, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And one thing we know about this game is that you get punched in the face a lot. And, yeah, it's reacting to that. It's making sure that you're not reacting irrationally, but rationally, and just understanding the assumptions of each day and making a decision each day about what you're doing. But it gets back to what we were talking about earlier, just constantly looking to improve, constantly trying to figure out how to put yourself in position to win the most games over the course of the whole season, not just that day. And Craig does a really good job of helping us balance that. Jed and I and he have constant conversations around it, and hopefully over 162, that puts us in a really, really good place.
Carter, thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. You guys have a great afternoon.
Carter Hawkins, Cubs general manager, right here on The Score. We'll be back to wrap things up with Bruce Levine. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago 670, The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back. Wrapping things up here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, Bruce, we've covered a lot of ground today, been a lot of fun. And one of the things that was mentioned by, I think, one of our callers, might have been Mike from Glencoe, talking way back in the 9 o'clock hour about what's wrong with the White Sox. When did the moment happen when things started to go south? He referenced Nick Madrigal, which got some of our loyal listeners, one of them in particular, Mark Potash from the Sun-Times, listens every week. Love hearing from Potsy on Twitter or in person or via text. And he reminds me of this, or unearths this little nugget. Nick Madrigal, after 864 plate appearances, 280 batting average, 682 OPS. Jose Altuve, after 864 plate appearances, 286 batting average, 716 OPS. Bruce, do those two players have anything in common besides some really interesting numbers?
They're both breathing. I mean, you know, Potsy's a great football guy and one of my friends, but, you know, I'm glad he's a listener. That's all I'll say.
Did you just say stick to football?
No, I mean, he has a passion for all the sports in Chicago, and it's fantastic.
Oh, he brings it.
But, yeah, he should stick to football.
You don't want to be on the other side of one of his Twitter, I don't want to even call it a rant, but he's quite prolific.
I mean, look, comparing Altuve to, you know, that's...
Bad idea.
You know, again...
Bad idea.
It's interesting because... It's great. here's a guy like Mark Potash, like a lot of our listeners, that really delve into the game and get into the history and the numbers of the game, and it's fantastic.
So maybe comparing Madrigal to Altuve would be like Potash to Ringlardner?
I would say comparing Madrigal to Chris Getz
okay.
would be more where you want to go.
Speaking of Potsy, he's covering the Bears for the Sun-Times and the draft and draft coverage here on The Score, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Had to get that in there for you, Bruce. I know you were dying to talk a little draft, especially with Bill Belichick in town.
The door's not open. There's no draft in here.
Bill Belichick, can he stay, by the way? He was here because of his relationship with Tony La Russa. You're aware of that, correct?
Belichick takes over White Sox? Is that what the
I would be all for that. I would be okay with that. Yeah, Belichick could take over the White Sox. Theo could run the Bears. Either way, I'd be fine. Leaders are leaders.
That would be a different connotation to the old hit and run in baseball. I think it would be a little different. He'd have a different philosophy.
Speaking of hit and run, tomorrow, 9 to noon, Matt Spiegel, right? I'm full
of
promos.
Off this week, but
sorry.
Our good friend Chris Ranji will be running the show.
Okay.
Nice segue into our next show coming up here, which is our good friend Steve Rosenblum. Rosenblum.
Yeah, he brought lunch, so that's great. He's going to be here. Bruce.
He bought lunch?
He brought lunch.
Sorry.
I'm sure he didn't buy lunch.
Yeah, I should have known better than
Yeah. Bruce, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for lining up the guests, because Ethan Katz and Carter Hawkins were terrific.
Yeah, Tyler did a great job.
Tyler Farengold, thank you very much. Yes.
Looking forward to Crochet today, pitching for the White Sox. Cubs getting out of their mini slump.
I Crochet today for the Sox, and it is the road showta for the Cubs out in Seattle. All right, for Bruce Levine and Tyler Farengold, I'm David Haw. Thanks for listening to Take Inside the Clubhouse. Be back on Monday with Mullen Haw. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.